This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
How many were here a few weeks ago when Heather Chowning was here? A few of you. Okay. Well, she asked me a question that really got me thinking. She said, "Randy, how do you take up the offering here at your church?" And I said, "Well, we just kind of pass the buckets and everybody throws in what they can." And she says, "I hate that. I hate that." She said, "I wish there was some other way that we could do it." And I said, "Well, Heather, we've tried just about every way that we could try. And that seems to be about the only thing that works." But the point she was making was, here we are on this spiritual high with the worship. And then this guy comes up and starts talking to you and everything. You just kind of lose momentum. And then the speaker comes and tries to bring you all back. And it should not be that way. Our church is no different than any other church. I made some bullet points here because Zach's coming up in a minute, and I'll talk aimlessly forever, and Zach knows that. But I just want to say that our church is no different than any other church, that we struggle with trying to get our people to give. It's just a cultural thing. Well, it got me to thinking, and at our last leadership meeting, it was Pastor Tim, myself, Matt, Chad was there, and we were brainstorming, and we came up with the fact that it's our responsibility. As leaders, it's our responsibility to train, equip, disciple, uplift, encourage, everything. It's our responsibility to help you guys. So here's what I'm saying. Each week, when we come up on the platform, whoever it is, we will be real intentional in our teaching, in our discipling, and trying to encourage you to do what it is that God wants you to do. And what I want to do this morning is try and break past that mindset of money. Okay? And you're thinking, okay, he's going to talk about money. That's right, I am. I'm talking about money. M-O-N-E-Y. Because it is the most important thing to you. Agreed? Okay, don't look at me like my dog does when I'm talking to her. Just agree with me and I'll get down off this platform a little bit easier, quicker. It's difficult for us to talk about money, to release our money, because we think it's ours. Well, I'm supposed to manage it. God's entrusted it to me, and I'm supposed to manage it. That doesn't mean you're supposed to hoard it. Oh, now I'm meddling. Okay, do you know the most anointed part of our church service? You were here first service. It's no fair. You can't say. What's the most anointed portion of our service? I'm all ears. Just say it out. Huh? Giving. I like Bob's answer, but that's wrong. Worship. Awesome answer. That's wrong. Any other takers? The most anointed portion of our service is when you leave. When you walk out the door and you take these principles that you hear from myself, Pastor Tim, from Zach, from whoever's up here, you take these principles out onto the street, out into the community, with your family, your friends, the marketplace. You apply those principles every day. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. And I'll amen you right back when you get up here. Okay? So let me start by saying giving to God is a form of worship. Excuse me. And it's just equally as important as our song service. Giving to God with our resources is as equally important, if not more so, in God's eyes. Because when we sing, it doesn't cost us anything. Well, it might be costing the person that's sitting next to you while you're singing. But I'm just saying it's not sacrificial. Giving to the Lord with our songs is pretty easy, and it makes us warm and fuzzy and we feel good. But when we've got to write that check or swipe that card, that's when the flesh comes in. That's when the flesh comes in and it doesn't feel so warm and fuzzy. What was that, Carolyn? Thank you. See, there's another one that recognizes me. Thank you very much. Hey, I want to share an illustration with you this morning, and the Lord gave it to me a few weeks ago, and I've shared it with a few of you personally, individually, and I shared it with you guys at the owners' meeting if you were here a few weeks ago, but I want to share it with all our peeps out here today because it's really, really good. And we know that we're in a season of flooding right now. It seems like God is just opening up heaven and just really dumping a blessing on some and overflowing on others. And this is typically a time of the year when everything is dry and burns up. But how many in here are followers of Jesus Christ and are filled with His Holy Spirit? Okay, if I don't see every hand raised, then I need to talk with you after the service. Every one of you in here should have your hands raised. God has given us His Holy Spirit in abundance and given us everything that we need through the abundance of His Holy Spirit to live the Christian life that we live. It's like it's a reservoir. It's like a reservoir that never runs dry, that never runs empty. And I want to share with you 2 Corinthians 9:10. It says, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." So what's that seed that He gives us? It's His word. It's the seed is His message to you, what you're hearing today. Those are seeds that you plant in your field. And then it's our responsibility to water that seed, to nurture that seed. And if you know anything about farming, if you want a full crop, if you want your field to be full, you don't plant a field half full of seed. You plant a field full of seed. Because what you plant, what you reap, what you sow, that's what you'll reap. Okay. And it's our responsibility to watch over that. So each one of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit have what's considered, in my own mind, a floodgate. And it's a gate valve, that one of those type of gate valves that you can open up and it will send water into the field that you have planted. Now, who goes out and digs up the seed to see if it's growing? You shouldn't. Absolutely. So I'm saying today, don't use a shovel of doubt to dig up what you've planted with faith. Okay. And I should get a big amen on that. Thank you much. And I'm just saying that what is that seed? It's what you've committed to God. And maybe at some point you told God, "Hey, I'm going to give my resources to you. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give you my offerings. I'm going to give you my service. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." Whatever you commit to God, that's the seed that you plant in the ground. And God expects you to nurture that. God expects you to water that, to open up that gate valve and let it go. But somehow we mindlessly really just don't tend to our garden as much as we should. And before you know it, we're in need. So it's our responsibility to stand over that floodgate and watch over what God has supplied us for. And maybe you told God that you would do this. And maybe you're here today and your fields are dry. Maybe no crop has come forth. Maybe you're not seeing anything sprouting in a certain area. I'm asking you today. I am teaching you today. I'm giving you a biblical principle. If you will open up your gate and let the love flow, you'll receive love back. You let your resources, your financial resources, flow, and you'll receive back. Whatever you commit to God, and may, whatever area it is, you let that, open up that gate and let it flow, and God will return that back. Because God doesn't bless a hoarder. Now you've got this huge reservoir behind you, and you think, that's not enough. That's not enough. Everybody wants a piece of me, and that's not enough to supply everything. I'm saying once you open up that gate, it flows, and there's more to it. There's more coming. I'm finished talking, Zach. Okay. Hey, ushers, if you guys would come forward, we're going to take up the offering. We're going to turn it over to this man. It'll be awesome. Okay, Father, let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you've given your word to us as a standard, a benchmark, where you want us to live, how you want us to live, what you want us to live. Everything that we are, Lord, you sustain us and you give it to us. So, Father, I pray today for these tithes, these offerings. Take them, multiply them for our kingdom work right down here in Restoration, St. Joe. And Father, I pray for Pastor Tim up on the res, ministering, teaching. I pray, Jesus, that he will receive a mighty move, a word from you. Come back and bless us with it, Lord. I pray when he comes down off the mountaintop that the Shekinah glory will be on his face and will understand that he has been with you. I pray, Father, for Zach as he brings forth your word. I pray, Jesus, that it will touch our hearts, challenge us. And, Father, we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Yeah. How you guys doing? Good. God, thank you for being here this morning. We're going to have an awesome day together. We were talking about worship. And as you may have seen, I'm an instrumentalist, and worship has always been a part of my family, part of the Doyle family. My dad is always, he's always sung. He was a vocal major in college, and it's always been just a staple of our family, of having worship in our house. And it's always been something I remember. I was thinking about it this week as I was preparing, and I remember moments like when I was like 8, you know, that just of my mom singing over the kids. And it's something that I want for my household as we start a family, you know, because I'm 3 months today. Woohoo! Mom says yeah, so she wants kids. So that's an announcement. No, it's not an announcement. It's only 3 months. So, But to kick it off, I want to reintroduce worship to you, because worship is not just a niche. It's not just something for individuals that know how to play an instrument and know how to, you know, that can sing the right note. You know, it's for everybody, and it's really, it's not just a niche. It's a weapon. It's a weapon of warfare, a spiritual warfare. And it's something that the enemy wants to distract you from. And as you may know, and as you may not know, the opposite of worship is fear, and it's doubt. It's anything that takes your gaze away from the Lord, because it's a way to distract you from what you have ahead. So as I was preparing and praying over this message on Sunday, or for this Sunday, I had a word come to me on Friday night, late at night. I was up late. But the word was, and I titled it, we are no longer permitted to negotiate with terrorists. And when I say terrorists, I mean the one terrorist that really, it's a literal thing. It's a literal, he is the terrorist because he forms all his weapons, all of the things that hinder you. It comes from a place of fear and it comes from a place of doubt. So he's literally a terrorist. He uses terror to try and infiltrate you. But the word is, we are no longer permitted to negotiate with the hostility of the enemy. A literal terrorist, a force of malintent bent towards every man and woman. His weapon of choice is not explosives, but a blitz organized around doubt and built on fear. However, while the attacks can appear strong, he's very predictable. He tends to use the same thing over and over. And as you see in the word, every tool he has today, he's tried to use for millennia. And we have a eternal God that has all of our solutions and has our victory already won. So today I want to introduce to you, reintroduce your main weapon, which is worship. And to do so, I'm going to be using a super awesome acronym. So because that's what every awesome preacher uses, is a great acronym that's got everything organized really nice. So, but today we're talking about resetting your soul. So everybody say reset.
Reset.
It's so much fun when you can just tell people to do whatever you want them to do. It's like everybody jump on your knees. No. Okay. Yeah. Jump on your knees. It's tough. That's why I said it. So why don't you open your Bible if you have it, or look to the screen for Malachi chapter 3. There's also notes on if you have the YouVersion app. So if you're super smart with your smartphone, you can use it that. But the first point of reset is to remember the size of your Father. So that's your R. So remember the size of your Father. This is a moment when you're saying, You're getting distracted. Is there something bugging you, whether it's your family, whether there's something going on in your family, whether it's your finances, maybe it's you're starting a new job or you're moving into a new home, or just whatever can get you in a place off center, a place that can put you in doubt. You know, maybe it's self-doubt or doubt of the system. You know, the election is coming up and it's a very stressful season right now, just because there's whether which side you fall on, it's still a little wonky today. Can I hear amen on the wonky? On the wonky. And it can be really easy to lose focus of who's in control in the first place, which is God. So remember the size of your Father. I'm using the book of Malachi because Malachi was a prophet who wrote, who spoke to the nation of Israel at a time when they were just recently it was about 100 years before they were released from Babylonian captivity. The setting of the nation, it was a much smaller state. They had, while the time they were captive, the nation of Israel was parceled out. So they were released to a smaller state for them to live in. And not only was it just less, but it was disease. And there was a time of disease and drought and pestilence is what the word says about it. But Malachi chapter 3 has a good reminder from Malachi to the people of Israel, to the nation of Israel. And it's something I want you to grab on and have it be, you know, while this is an extreme case, this is a good reminder of who the Lord is. So verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." I'm skipping to verse 10. And verse 10, it's typically taught with the idea of giving, but I'm really wanting to put a spin on it for worship. So bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. what in some of the reading, what do you call it, the commentary for the Bible, for this book, it was interesting to read because it was almost like this word to the people was almost a satirical word to be spoken to them, because you're talking about them being blessed, and you're talking about them, you know, being a great nation when their nation was already parceled out. They were very weak, and all they had was faith to stand on, because the things around them didn't look like what the Lord promised from the prophets before. So it was a tough word to swallow for them, just because they didn't see anything physically around them. They just could see, they could see the destruction of war and disease. But the Lord is reminding them, and he's saying to them, if you honor and bring your tithe to the storehouse, and I'm going to put a spin on that, if you worship me with a full heart and a full contention to do so, then I will heal your land, and I will pour out a blessing on you until there is no more need. And what I liked about something, there's two things about this chapter that I like. When he talks about opening up the floodgates of the heaven, when he's talking about opening the windows of the heavens, it's actually tying back to the oral tradition of talking about the biblical flood of Noah. So when he's talking about the floodgates opening, it's a very violent blessing, you know, because that was the flood was a devastating, earth-shattering event, catastrophic event to the earth. And Malachi's putting a spin on it, and he's referring it back to the people of Israel and saying, his gifts are so much greater than every iniquity that will shatter everything. And it's such a really cool, I love just to be able to look, take the footnotes and like read before, and I'm a nerd like that. So, and the other thing too is he calls himself the Lord of Hosts, this is one of the few books that you see the Lord of Hosts being used, and it's a reminder to the people, the nation of Israel, that God is—he's the first war chief, and he's the greatest war chief. That because they're in a nation that has been beat up, so he's reminding them that he is their defense first. So the R is remember the size of your father. So because he's huge, huge, he's huge. So you're. the next letter is E, so it's exterminate the distraction. Exterminate the distraction. I'm going to continue reading from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of Hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of Hosts. It's a very violent passage when you think about it, and it's a metaphor for us today. But it's just a reminder of how small our stresses are, how small everything that might be putting you under fear really is. When I was reading that passage, it made me think of cockroaches, you know, and how small the size is, depending on what nation you're in. Because in the DR, it might be kind of big, as some of our people might have found out. But really, ultimately, there's no cockroach that you wouldn't be able to stomp with your foot. And yet, it can be... It can be a very daunting thing when you start seeing them pile on. You know, if you see an infestation, that's the grossest thing. You know, I can deal with one bug, but when it's an infestation of bugs, that makes me freak out. It's just, ew, don't want to go over there. But the Lord's reminding us that everything will be stubble at your feet. It'll be burnt to a crisp, because that is the strength of our God. And so when you exterminate the distraction, it will help you reset your soul. So exterminate. So the next point is S. Set your heart towards the Father. Go with me to Psalm 91, please. And I'm going to be reading from the Message version, because I really wanted this to be more of a contemporary feel. So when I read from the Message, it's going to sound a little newer. It's going to be a little fresh, like like somebody sing it today, because it was written today. So awesome. So, but 91, and I'm starting with verse 14. So if you hold on to me for dear life, says God, I will get you out of trouble, any trouble. I will give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I will rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. When he says throw you a party, it reminds me of the prodigal son. And when the prodigal son stepped, when he realized he was at the wrong, you know, and we know that his iniquities were actually from a sin, you know, from his sin habits that he was running away from, and he flee towards the Father. He made the choice, and he set his heart back to home, and it's such a cool parable. It's one of my favorite parables, just because it's a reminder of the Father's love for us. And when you set your face towards him, when you realign yourself, he's always there with open arms, ready to party, ready to have you back in the house. So, I have two more points. I'm going to do these together, cause we're running out of time, but, E and T. So E is encase your heart in the armor of God. Notice I've been using scripture for everything. So if there's something very specific that's speaking to you today, I'd challenge you to go to the Word, go to the Bible, and do some searching for something that will speak towards whatever you're struggling with, whether it's a sin or whether it's just somebody messing with your family or messing with anything. Maybe it's just finances, or, you know, maybe it is the election that's really getting you down, trusting the government. And I just want to encourage you to go to the Word and really reestablish yourself in the Word today. And the T is to turn your sorrow into a war song. And what's great about this is when you find that passage, you take it and you just exfoliate that booger. You just blow it up, and you turn that from, you just flip it on its head, and you say, this is what I'm struggling with, but God can do this. And you turn it from being a need into being a blessing, and you just make it your heart song. And that's what really defeats every fear, any act of spiritual terrorism towards your heart, is when you just flip it on its head and you say, but God says this. You know, Jesus did that when he was in the desert with the devil. You know, the devil tried to use scripture actually to try and get Jesus to turn away from his calling. And Jesus flipped it on its head and he said, but this is who God says I am. So I'm going to read from Psalm 91, 3-8. So that's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, nor flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no one will even graze you. You'll stand untouched. Watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. It's a very vivid passage from David. And it's another reminder. And David was not only a king, but he was a warrior. And he was a man. He was a worshiper. We were doing, we have our pre-service prayer as a team, and it's something that, it's always a reminder for me, you know, being on the worship team, is that we are your front line. And we model that after David, model that after his bringing worship towards the battlefield. And that's something we do. And that's how we want to close today, is give you an application, and give you worship to help you go charge the front line. And step into the battlefield with your true weapon of worship.
Thank you
God.
So much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.